Well, our final presenter this afternoon is David Varner with UNL. And the other thing, in addition, at our business meeting, whenever this idea for this symposium came up, was we need someone from industry, and funding is also, you know, always a big issue. How do you fund on-farm research? What type of partnerships are out there, and how are things going to be change in the future? And I think that's a big issue that we all have on our minds these days. So I'm going to turn it over to Dave and let him give his presentation.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon. We were going to talk about renewing the land grant mission through on-farm research. And I want to begin by recognizing my colleagues here at the bottom of the screen, who are educators and specialists from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln who help tremendously in conducting on-farm research across the eastern part of the state. This is a quote from Wayne Rasmussen in his book, Taking the University to the People, 75 Years of Cooperative Extension. And I think it speaks volumes to the importance of on-farm research to what all of us do out there in the field. It still remains one of the most effective transformational educational tools that we have at our disposal. The land grant system is challenged as well today. Funding. Where do we find funding to do the type of research that a lot of our constituents want us to do? To answer some of the questions that they indeed have. On-farm research is a solution to some of those issues. What about relevance and accessibility? As we spend time pursuing funding and doing other things in our professional lives, are we truly as accessible and responsive to our growers and our constituents as we once were? And I would argue that translational research or on-farm research is one way in which we can remain so. This is the way by which we connect our basic research, our R&E applied research, to the farm. We take it to the farms and put it in place with the growers who support us. Some folks would argue that private industry research challenges the system as well. They're a competitor. Well, I look at that in a much different way. I look at private industry as a partner and a collaborator, and I'll demonstrate that to you in just a moment. So much of what we're going to talk about here is learner-centered education. In my business in extension, it's not about you or me or what we want. It's about what the learner is after. And it's engaging the learner in the process of identifying the need and then finding a solution. And that's what our on-farm research program is all about. So we engage those growers, and we facilitate transformational learning. So on-farm research. Someone asked the question earlier about, is this about learning new agronomic knowledge, or is this more about teaching the process? And I would argue it's both, because both are very important outputs or outcomes of this process. As we sit down with growers and we recruit growers to our on-farm research program, this is a common saying that we use. In production agriculture, it's what you think you know that you really don't know that can hurt you. And what does that mean? That means there's a lot of data out there. It's in farm publications. It's at the coffee shop. It's everywhere. And you have to learn how to decipher good data from poor data and what data is relevant to you and learn what questions to ask to decipher that. You know, here's a group of growers that come to our annual on-farm research review. At one time, these growers were seeking answers, and they were probably basing a lot of their decisions based off not-so-good data, things they heard, hearsay, they read about. But they really didn't know what questions to ask to decide if it was relevant to their operation or not. Today, they've learned a process to make it real to their operation. So I'm going to use two on-farm research programs as an example today. One is the Nebraska Soybean and Feed Grain Profitability Group, and it's located in the eastern part of the state, just west of Omaha, touches about 9 counties. And the other one, and let me say a word about it, it was launched about 2 decades ago. We talked earlier about how you motivate growers to do on-farm research. One of the first things we did with this group, and this is prior to WayWagon, this is prior to Yield Monitors, we took a WayWagon out to each one of their fields. And we wanted to prove to them that there was, in fact, variability in their fields. So we just simply, we didn't have any comparisons out in the field. We just took the WayWagon and we just measured strips across the field to prove to them that there were gradients out there and things that would impact their yield. And that set us up for success when we started to teach them about experimental design. We've conducted numerous comparisons over the years. In this particular product, members identify their own comparison. So it's all about them. What question do they have? What will improve the profitability of their respective operation? So when they sit down with us, we help them decide what exactly that is. These folks commit 3 years to the project, and ideally they spend 3 years looking at the same comparison. So we have data from a period of time over years, and we in fact reward them in the end. After 3 and 6 years of successful research, we reward them for successful on-farm research venture. They also invest in the program. They all invest $150 annually so that their farm operation may participate in this program. Now, some of them say that we should be paying them to do this work, but this speaks to the commitment that we have from these growers. Okay? They're invested in this program, not only in the dollars, which is really a small piece of the pie. It's really the time investment that means everything to this project. And then we take it a step farther. When we sit down at the table to talk about what they will study and the next year to talk about what they learned, it's the grower, it's extension, and it's someone from private industry. So it's a seed salesperson, it's a crop consultant, it's a co-op agronomist, it's someone from private industry that they have a good relationship and trust that works with us. And we could not do this program successfully without these folks. This program is led by myself and Keith Gluin, who's my colleague and extension educator in Saunders County. The other project I'll mention is the Quad County On-Farm Research Program, and that's located in south-central Nebraska, somewhat younger program. The difference here, a couple of distinct differences. In this case, this group collectively identifies a project, an on-farm research comparison that they look at together each year. So about 3 years or so ago, they picked up on soybean plant populations. So they decided they wanted to look at plant populations on each of their farms. They decided on 90,000 seeds per acre, 120, 150, and 180, and they all used those as their treatments. And they conducted that for a number of years. Each year, these growers probably have more than one on-farm research comparison on their respective farm, but they collectively as a group decide and agree that they will all conduct the same experiment, whether it be a plant population study, a timing issue of planting, or whatever the case might be, so they can aggregate that data and maybe perhaps come to a little faster conclusion as to whether it's a relevant practice for them or not. And what they also do is they provide standard protocols out there for subsequent growers who might want to embark with this on-farm research as well. So if I come into the program 3 or 4 years after they've done that soybean study, they still have the parameters out there, those planting population rates that I can use. And they encouraged me to do that so that we can aggregate the data and continue to learn from it. And this is a group of 4 extension educators that actually run this program with a supportive specialist. So the member profile, as you would expect, very forward-thinking, value continuing education. In fact, they refer to this program often as continued education. They really like that university partnership. You know, a lot of folks like their athletic teams and want to be associated with their collegiate teams. In this case, what's really interesting and gratifying is they want to be associated with the academic side of the institution. They want to be a part of this learning and discovery process. They also love being and rubbing shoulders with top producers in their area. They're committed to R&E, and as you would expect, and I agree, they are the farmers of tomorrow. So here's the network. Here's the network that makes this happen. We have our applied research, our on-farm research at the center of the universe, and then we have the farmer extension, the private sector, involved in this two-way interaction back and forth supporting that on-farm research program. The components of this program, both of these programs, number one, the farmers identify the issues. They identify what we will study on their respective farms. Typically compare an alternative practice to a current practice. Sometimes this takes some discussion to decipher exactly what that is, and I'll tell you more about how we do that here in just a moment. So we design, conduct, and we lay out these scientific experiments. We look at typical yield difference, of course, and we look at some other parameters, but we also look at profitability. And maybe more important than what they learn from their own comparison is they learn the research process. They also learn how to collaborate with others in the research and learning arena. And ultimately, they make better business decisions based on what they've learned throughout this project. So this is the question that every farmer will ask you when you talk about something you're working on in your own research. You know, will it work on my farm, whether it's a practice or a product? And so our system is all about helping growers work through this process. So what do? We meet with growers in the wintertime for a couple hours, and we talk about what their on-farm research interests are. Okay? Sometimes they have something that they hand us and say, I want to look at this. Other times we will look at several fields, yields, challenges, tillage systems, herbicide programs, whatever the case might be, and typically we'll come across something that, indeed, it seems to be a bottleneck in their respective operation. And that private industry person is sitting there with us as well, and they're chiming in and helping us make this decision. Then we design the field layout, a written research protocol, so that consultant and that grower, when they go to the field to put this experiment out there, we're all on the same page. Typically looking at paired comparisons, randomized complete block designs. These are all field size layouts. So everything is implemented with the grower's equipment. Throughout the growing season, we document those observations that are important to deciphering what happened in these fields. We use both weigh wagons and yield monitors to weigh the yield, et cetera. I would agree with Jeremy that one of our biggest challenges today with yield monitors is on the positive side, we can do a lot more on-farm research very expediently. But on the flip side, sometimes it's very difficult to get that data off the card and into our hands to do the statistical analysis. So the following winter, following harvest, we sit down with the grower again with the consultant, and we talk about the results. And by this time, we've run the statistics on them. And while we're meeting with them, we do the economics, et cetera. And, of course, while we're there, we plan for the subsequent year. We take it a step farther, and we share this data among the growers. And we actually open this up to the public now. So we have an annual on-farm research review day. And I'll talk about that more here in a moment. And ultimately, we publish the results. We publish all of the results. The only time we don't publish results are if we happen to have a problem with the design and the way it was implemented or harvested. But everything is above table and is shared with the public. So that first day when we sit down with them, that meeting in the winter, we really have to focus on a well-defined question. You know, zero in on what exactly we're trying to learn here and focus on one practice ideally, because typically growers want to look at the world, you know, and figure it all out with one comparison. Focus, and then make sure we can answer that question with the data that we will derive. Some comparisons that we have going on right now, you can see there's a wide variety of things out there that growers want to look at, and we have multiples of some of these, but they vary across the spectrum. Testing the question, we put the layout on paper, on maps. It could be a terrace field. It could be a very flat square field. But as long as they have room to do a replicated randomized study, we'll work with them to put that into play. We try to limit the number of treatments, so try to limit it to two perhaps the first year, maybe three or four in subsequent years. Really have to impress upon these folks, and we take this for granted, but that this is the only man-made variable in the field, if at all possible. So as in Nebraska, we typically may put two or three hybrids in a quarter section of corn. Well, you can't do that now. That will complicate things. We don't put this comparison where you had another comparison the year before, or where you had two different crops growing the year before. So we try to really zero this in and make this as homogeneous of a field and situation as possible. And then we talk about randomizing and replicating. And as you know, the first time you bring that up with the growers, you have this look of bewilderment, and why? Why are we wasting our time doing this? But one of the most gratifying things about this project is, in the second or third year, they're reaching into their pocket to pull out the coins or asking, how are we going to randomize this project this year? And then you know that learning is occurring and that they appreciate the process. So simple paired comparisons, randomized complete block designs. We typically shoot for at least 5 to 7 replications of either one. Today, if folks have a yield monitor, they may double or triple that and do many more. The most limiting factor we have in replicating in fields today in our neck of the woods is size of equipment, because the size of planters and sprayers and such, it becomes more difficult to fit some of these programs into small acreage areas. We put together a written field layout for them and a written protocol as to how to go about the process, and that is given to the consultant as well, so we're all on the same page. Tells them which products, which rows to harvest, which ones to discard. We mark the field with GPS or field flags, and then we implement the plan. And 90% of the time, it's the private industry person taking this out to the field and putting it in place with the grower. So they save us a ton of time. And, of course, they're the ones who are with the grower throughout the growing season, making the observations, whether they be planned observations or unintended observations, they are there throughout the process. And they also document deviations from the original plan. So these are some things that we may plan or perhaps because of circumstances we will take note of throughout the growing season. These are a few more. Do a little aerial imagery from time to time with certain studies to help make a point. At the end of the day, after harvest, we sit down and we do look at the statistical analysis. And growers, of course, are always amazed at how one bushel may be significant and 10 bushels may not be significant. But over time, what they learn to look for is consistency in data across the field. And they learn what variability is. And as time goes on, they also have better input for us regarding where exactly we should place the next on-farm research comparison, because they know what variability can do to the equation. And they know that we can take some of that variability out of the equation with design. But at least that they're consciously thinking about that. Economical analysis, regardless of whether it's 1 or 10 bushels, in the end, what really matters in a lot of cases is, does it make sense? Is it profitable or is it not? And then there's this practical analysis. So it's statistically significant. It either loses money or makes money, but how much time does it take? Is it saving me some water? Is it saving me some soil? You know, what are the other things that come into play here that make it either something that works or doesn't work in my operation? So statistically, we contract with our biometrics department at UNL to help us with this process. And as Jeremy or someone mentioned earlier, we try to boil this down to make it very understandable to growers. So based on the results of your study, what is the probability that the differences are due to the treatment versus due to chance? And those of you in the room are probably looking at 95, 99% confidence levels, and we'll report and publish things down to 90% probability levels because the growers, for a grower, those are pretty good odds. This is just looking at how we might summarize some data for a grower over a number of years. This is actually a 16-year lime study still in process in eastern Nebraska where a grower lightly incorporated lime in one treatment strip and did not put any lime in subsequent treatment strips in a paired comparison. And one of the most interesting things about this comparison is that the grower did not, and the original pH was 5.5, 5.6. He didn't see any yield response for the first 3 years. Nothing. A lot of times we talk about the lifespan of lime being 4 to 5 years. Saw the first yield response in year 4 in soybeans and has seen a significant yield response in soybeans every other year since 1999 or so. So is one of our longest running studies. This is a little spreadsheet that we worked with Nebraska Farm Business Association to assemble. It essentially takes a snapshot of the grower's economics on this particular enterprise, whether it be corn or beans and whatever practices they're using on the fields that we're doing the research comparison. We run an analysis for each of the enterprises, each of the treatments we're looking at on that particular field. The only data here, the economic data that we share with the rest of the group, with the public, are the treatment costs. The rest of this is all confidential for the grower. And in fact, what this really helps us do many times is help us identify the next project that we're going to work on. Because we look at maybe what's the investment in equipment on your farm? You know, could you go to no-till or reduce till and eliminate some of that investment and cost? What's your herbicide cost? You know, we look at all those parameters, and we see a lot of these each year. So it becomes easy to pick out things that are a little bit different than the rest of the group in the region. So drawing conclusions. All this leads to making decisions based on good data. And we encourage growers to look at multi-year data. We encourage them to look at the cost-benefit ratio for everything that we're doing here in this particular study. And ultimately, the question is how will you change your management scheme based on what you've learned in this study? And you will see later that it's just not what they changed based off this study, but based off what they learned in other studies as well. So we do have an annual on-farm research review where we bring in all of our growers. and they talk about and they debate and discuss their respective comparisons. And they have to justify why they did their comparison, what they did, how they did it, and what they learned from it. Now, you might imagine that 21 years ago, when we started with 12 growers, and we handed them a microphone to talk about this type of thing, it was a pretty quiet room. Today, with 100 people in that room, folks are not quiet. They're very comfortable with this process. So the grower has a chance to talk. The private industry person has a chance to chime in. We typically have various extension educators and specialists in the room. Anyone in the group can speak to this comparison and challenge it or talk more about it. A very engaged clientele, which is what we're looking for in extension. The learning is obvious, and it's transformational learning. Not only are they learning the agronomic skills and knowledge that's so important to improving the operation, but they're learning how to decipher other folks' data. They're learning what questions to ask. We celebrate their accomplishments. After 3 and 6 years in this program, we celebrate the fact that they've successfully accomplished that many years of on-farm research. We have a few growers who are charter members who started with us in 1989. We publish the research results on this website, farmresearch.unl.edu, and this is in a transformational stage itself. So most of it's up there going back to 1989, and you can look at all of that data as you wish. Charles Wertman in 2005 did an evaluation of both of these on-farm research groups, asking them essentially what the positive impact they can attribute to these on-farm research programs during their experience in the programs. And they told us that year that they on average had derived about $14,000 in benefit to their operation based on what they've learned in the planting, tillage, fertility, and pest management arenas. So what do producers say about this program? Let me just point out a few words here. The first one talks about learning about proper scientific methods. Now, how often do farmers talk using that particular language? Number two speaks to the collaborative effort between private industry, extension, and the grower. And number three talks about how much higher quality this program is than a traditional extension program because of the engagement and transformational learning process. Here the top two quotes talk about very solid numeric impact results. And the last one says this: with this group of producers, I trust the data. This is unbiased data collected from some very good producers in a region. So they know if you're part of this group or this club that you understand the process and you're not going to let the rest of the group down. And if something goes awry in the comparison, you're going to talk about it. The data is real, and they all benefit from that. So as I wrap up here with transformational learning, you know, level one learning is when you receive the phone calls and people walk in the door and you have these one-on-one casual conversations with people. Level two learning is when you put out the media releases and you talk on the radio and you speak to a civic group, and it's probably, you see those folks maybe once in a lifetime, maybe a couple times. Level three are conferences like this, clinics, workshops, where you have a chance to influence people and you may indeed have an impact on their lives. Level four is when you've engaged a group of people and you see them repeatedly and they exhibit the fact that they are making behavioral changes based on what they've learned throughout your program. And that is transformational learning. That is on-farm research. And I think this saying probably summarizes transformational learning better than any other that I can think of. It's not about what we're teaching growers today. It's about teaching them to learn for a lifetime. So, the power of on-farm research. What we strive to do is to engage our growers and our consultants to understand how data is derived and interpreted, and we empower them to take that data to improve the profitability of their respective businesses. Thank you.
Any questions for David? I have a question. Have you ever ran into a situation where maybe the results of some of this on-farm research goes against what a particular company is recommending? So it affects them in the pocketbook. And how do you handle that?
Well, our philosophy is what you see is what you get. Now, we obviously look at multiple year comparisons. So that's very important. And we always tell growers you need to look at this over time. I didn't mention earlier, but depending on the particular treatment involved, sometimes these comparisons happen in the same field every year, like in the liming case, for example. In other cases, it may move from one field to the next over time. But we publish what we find. And I think that has been one of the hallmarks of this program is that we always publish what we find. And private industry and growers all know that that's the way this game works. And that just lends itself to the credibility of the program over time.
Dave, out of the entire the extension of all the extension educators, what percent of educators are involved in the on-farm research, the entire on-farm research project?
Percentage-wise, in Nebraska we have a group of crops focused educators, and I would say we probably have about half of those folks very actively involved in the on-farm research process. Someone mentioned it earlier, I think maybe Jeremy, someone else, maybe Paul too, but you have to have educators, people in the field that really support this kind of program to make it work, because you have to have that engagement, that personal contact, a local go-to person to drive the system. And that's why what we've done in our system, we have these pockets or these regional on-farm research groups. Not only does it lend itself to leveraging the efforts of educators who have an interest in this arena and can work with growers in the region, but it also allows you to bring those folks together in a very practical manner once a year to share those results.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Dave, and all of our presenters.